The Precinct Omega Weekly Podcast is supported by Horizon Wars Zero Dark, sci-fi skirmish war games in a fallen earth. Visit Wargame Vault at wargamevault.com and search for Zero Dark.
It's Friday, the 7th of May, 2021. My name is Roby Jenkins.
And my name is Bernard.
And this is the news.
Stand by for incoming intelligence.
So we're going to start this week with some news about Precinct Omega, because last week, April the 30th, marked one full year since I decided to get back into podcasting with a weekly news podcast. It took me a few episodes to get into the stride of things and to find a place where I felt we had a sustainable model for the podcast, but in that 12 months I've missed 2 weeks. One when I went on holiday and one when it was Christmas. And in the next 12 months I don't plan to miss any weeks. Even if I'm on holiday, I'll be recording interviews or news in advance to make sure that the weekly content from Precinct Omega keeps coming. So, this week's discussion is going to take a look at my podcast, my stats, my feedback, and hopefully persuade you, the listener, to take a more active role in helping to build my audience over the next 12 months. But that doesn't mean I'm going to leave you hanging when it comes to the rest of the news. Brigade Games, which is different to Brigade Models, has announced the imminent release of white metal 28mm miniatures of the 26th US Cavalry from the World War II Philippines campaign. I love these fringe historical releases because not only do they speak to the incredible diversity and passion of the historical wargaming community, with which I generally have zero connection, but also provide some fantastic fodder for sci-fi themed conversions. This mix of mounted riflemen and light infantry scouts is no exception. Wargames Atlantic just can't stop releasing new kits, with confirmation of a forthcoming kit for dismounted World War II German tank crews. Wargames Atlantic really is dedicated to filling neglected gaps in 28mm plastic ranges at a breakneck pace, and like Brigade Games' release, these will lend themselves extremely well to sci-fi conversion for games like Starbreach, Stargrave, or, well, Horizon War Zero Dark, obviously. And speaking of modern historical releases, Rubicon Models has made the leap into plastic infantry with what looks like an outstanding set of Vietnam-era US Marines in 1/56th scale. This is Rubicon's first mention on this podcast because most of their ranges tended to gear more towards diorama builders than war games, but although this isn't their first plastic kit, it looks very much like their first kit aimed firmly at the wargamer market. The 1/56th scale technically sits somewhere between 28mm and 30mm, but their choice to put it as a fraction is indicative that these minis are much closer to realistic proportions, akin to Corvus Belli's Infinity range, than they are to the more common heroic scalings used by manufacturers like Warlord and Wargames Atlantic. Another forthcoming plastic kit that's going to be great for sci-fi conversions is coming from Great Escape Games, who have previewed the sprues for their imminent Wild West Gunfighters kit. At £15 for 10 gunfighters in a heroic 28mm scale that should be compatible with North Star military figures and Wargames Atlantic, these are sure to be popular. And my only mild criticism is the absence of any option for female gunslingers included. Atomic Mass Games continues to pour new Marvel characters into their Crisis Protocol 40mm range, in stark contrast with Night Model's patchy approach to the Batman miniatures game, and putting pressure on the Marvel United development team at Cool Mini or Not. To have two Marvel miniatures games on the market simultaneously from two major players is fascinating to industry watchers, and so far it feels like Crisis Protocol is firmly in the lead. There are new MDF terrain kits for modern and sci-fi settings out from both TT Combat in the UK and Blacksite Studios in the US. It's hard to know whether the MDF market is peaking or just getting started, and this is definitely a topic we should revisit in a future episode. But that's enough news. Let's talk about me.
Prepare for Intel analysis.
First of all, if you are not interested in hearing about how the podcast is doing, you are welcome to switch off, move on, come back next week, and we'll be back to normal content. But for now, it won't be a very long episode, but I did want to have a chat about the podcast. So this episode is my 50th, which adds up if I missed 2 weeks over the last year. And it's pleasing to see, looking at the 12-month graph of downloads, that I've pretty consistently grown my audience over the last year, from just 6 downloads in April 2020 to comfortably over 300 in March 2021. Of course, the fact that my first episode dropped on 30th of April 2020 largely explains why the first month was so slow, and the audience rapidly rose above 100 downloads per month, but it has only grown. Unsurprisingly, I get peaks in interest every Monday when the public episode drops on Podbean, but it's nice how rare it is for me to see no downloads at all. In the last 3 months, there have been only 3 days when no one downloaded the podcast, and in total, I've seen over 2,000 individual downloads in a year. But, of course, that's not 2,000 listeners. It's very hard to know exactly how many listeners I've got, but a rough guess would be to look at the downloads after the last month, of which I got 288 at time of writing. And to divide that by the number of posted episodes in April, which was 4. That gets us roughly 72 individual listeners who downloaded an episode. What's interesting, at least to me, is that about 2/3 of those downloaded an episode released in April, with the remainder downloading older episodes, obviously touching upon a subject in which they were interested, with key interests being feminism, intellectual property, and tax, which says something about my audience, perhaps. Now, the last one is almost certainly because of a Twitter discussion in which someone in the industry complained about not understanding the new VAT and duty regime, and I got tagged in it. So I posted a link to the podcast. Now, I find it pleasing that both the news and design podcasts seem equally popular, so I have no plans to alter that layout. I'm going to try to shift the more political issues away from the news episodes this year and spend more time in news looking at industry trends more than social ones. But social trends will stay a part of our theme, just moving more towards the more informal, looser format of the design episodes. The geographical distribution of listeners is always fascinating to look at, of course. Now, naturally, these days, a lot of us browse using a VPN. I know I couldn't be enjoying 12 seasons of Criminal Minds on Netflix without mine. So distribution figures have to be taken with a pinch of salt, but it's fair to say that the vast majority of my downloads are from the US and the UK, but with, in a surprising third place, Brazil close behind. Now, I suspect this might have something to do with former show interviewee Andy Strauss, but to have Brazil ahead of Australia and Canada, both of which have healthy wargaming communities with English as a first language, is both perplexing and amazing. Speaking of distribution, Google, Apple, Spotify, and Podbean are all the most popular ways that people listen to the show, except for the mysterious Other, through which 20% of my audience listens. And the list before we get to Other is long, by the way. I mean, it includes Overcast and Castbox, and seriously, who uses those? I mean, 13 of you do. Please don't stop listening, because I've just never heard of your preferred podcast app. They're probably awesome. But really, what other options are there? Now, that, by the way, doesn't include the Patreon, which is a separate upload. So all of the figures I've listed exclude everyone who just listens to the Patreon upload every week, which is quite a lot of my patrons. So, look, that's it for this week's discussion, because frankly, there's only so much I can talk about podcast statistics before I'm pretty sure I've lost my whole audience. Let's move on and talk about me again, but in a different way.
Intelligence logged. Analysis confirmed. Applying data.
So my question for the next 12 months of the podcast is how to grow my audience further. Now, the important first step in doing these things is to ask whether I need to. I mean, the format of the show is to look at niche topics not necessarily covered elsewhere, and they often aren't covered elsewhere simply because, well, most people aren't that interested in them. My aspiration for the podcast is much more about the quality of my audience than it is about the quantity. I'd like Precinct Omega to reach more business leaders and decision makers in the industry to prompt discussion and hopefully attract more opportunities for interviews with influencers who can educate me and my audience on the issues with their unique perspectives. That said, quantity, as has often been said, possesses a quality all of its own. My ability to attract the ears I would most like to have listening will be greatly influenced by the quality of the content, that will itself be greatly influenced by the volume of total listeners. So, if you'd like me to get into a position where I can invite major designers, company directors, and significant figures in the hobby to talk to me more often about their experience and ideas, there are definitely things you can actively do to improve the quality of my content. The most obvious one is to become a patron. Patrons get early access to every episode, as well as loads of Precinct Omega related content, depending on your patron level. Patronage starts at $2 a month, or an equivalent in your currency of choice, and patrons really do influence the content directly, with suggestions for topics, discussion on past issues, and regular opportunities for feedback. With an average of 4 episodes a month, that's about 50 cents an episode, even if you take no other content from the Patreon. But I recognise that not everyone can afford to back every Patreon they'd like to, which is why there are some other easy and completely free ways to support the podcast. The first thing you can do is go to precinctomega.podbean.com and click on the follow link. You can get the app on your phone and receive updates whenever a new episode drops, or if you just prefer to use another app, ignore the app entirely. But be a follower anyway, because it really helps my visibility. Second, drop into the Podbean site occasionally and leave a comment. It's easy to do and can be as simple as "Thanks for the episode." Again, comments help my visibility and attract more people to the show. Now third, if you enjoyed an episode, share it on social media. Most streaming apps will give you a quick link to share it to whatever social media you like best, and it really does make a difference. And fourth, you can theoretically like or leave a rating for the podcast. Now if you listen on iTunes, this is a piece of cake. 5 stars, please. In their algorithm, nothing else really matters. If you use Podbean, you can only like it on the app, and they will nag you to leave a comment, but you don't have to. If you listen on Spotify, you can follow or share, but there's nowhere to like or rate the podcast or episodes, and the same is true of Google Podcasts. But you can subscribe on Google Podcasts. If you listen exclusively on the Patreon, it would be cool if you could also subscribe elsewhere, although as you're already patrons, you totally don't have to. You are already the MVPs. And finally, and perhaps most helpfully of all, you could support Precinct Omega directly by buying a copy of one of our games or one of the supplements for those games. Horizon Wars Zero Dark has been available at Wargame Vault for over a year now, and Horizon Wars Infinite Dark drops in just a few weeks as I record this. If you already own a Precinct Omega game, you can help the podcast by playing it. Yes, seriously, playing a tabletop war game helps this podcast, because if you play it, you'll talk about it. If you talk about it, more people will want to buy it, and my business will make more money, and I can keep making podcast episodes, and won't have to go back to a dismal career that mostly involved helping companies fire people without getting sued.
Precognitive Function Online. Logic Engine Online. Stand by for predictions.
So yes, that is it for this week's podcast. I'm taking it a little bit easy on myself this week, hence why I decided to record a short one. Next week we'll be back to discussion. But first, let's talk some more about what I want to do to improve the podcast. Number one on my list is to involve Bernard Moore. Well, not just yet, Bernard. Getting you into the unscripted design episodes would be tricky and probably more time-consuming than it's worth, but I will be getting Bernard more involved in the discussion section of each episode to make the discussion more of an actual dialogue and less me screaming into the uncaring void. But before we get to that, next week I'll be following up my very popular episode on shooting mechanics with a look at close-quarter battle. As is a direct response to a request from a patron, which just goes to show how awesome it is to be a Precinct Omega patron, and I'll be looking at modern sci-fi and historical combat based on historical sources, my own practical experience, and measuring that up against how tabletop miniatures game designers have traditionally botched this vital part of warfare, why they've done so, and what the alternatives there might be. So, I'll speak to you again next week.
The Precinct Omega Game Design Podcast is supported by our patrons on Patreon. Go to patreon.com/Precinct Omega to help us continue developing new games and creating hobby content for war games enthusiasts all over the world.